And welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Vanderbilt football will be brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. Always great to have Commodore Head Coach Derek Mason join us here for the first half hour of this show. And before we talk about the current Vanderbilt team, Coach, man, I know you were excited. I know I was too. Keyshawn Vaughn with a big catch from Tom Brady to give Tampa Bay the lead and the win. That was pretty special, wasn't it?
It was special. I mean, Keyshawn is a special player. But it's fun to see him doing what he wants to do, what he's meant to do. I mean, he it was exciting. I mean, I didn't get a chance to see it, man, but I saw the highlights, and I couldn't be more ecstatic for him. I know it's been one heck of a journey during COVID. Even being in the NFL, you take the journey, and all you're trying to do, man, is make a difference. And he made a difference yesterday, so it was good to see him, great to watch him.
It was a lot of fun to watch, I tell you. When he caught that pass, and he and Brady celebrated together. That was a lot of fun to see. And you know, here's a guy. I gotta guess. You know, Coach Keyshawn is sitting there, and all of a sudden they sign these free agents. Like, what the heck is going on? They're taking my legs out from under me, but he's hung in there. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, you know what? That's the business of the NFL, and a lot of people don't understand the business side. But you know, you go to the NFL, bunch of grown men, and you know, it's about, you know, acquisition of talent. I mean, you're trying to acquire the best players that you can in order to make your roster work. Generally in the NFL, man, you need more than one back, and it just so happens that they sign a couple. But in the end, his talent was going to have an opportunity to step to the forefront. And he was ready. He was prepared. He had a process. He worked his plan. And now what you see, you know, is a young man is well on his way in that league.
Yeah, before we talk about this current Vanderbilt team, I want you to talk about that a little bit, because I've read some stuff from Tampa, and they've talked about, you know, he was in a situation where, you know, he was obviously not happy. You know, things had been jumped over him. He could have, you know, sulked and gone home, and he did not do that. How much of that is just based on what you learn going through what you went through at, what you put them through at Vanderbilt, to be ready when your number is called?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Remember, he had to sit out, you know, when he transferred back here from the University of Illinois. He had to sit out a year. So he had to wait. And for him during that time, he could have done one of two things. And I challenged him. I challenged him to make sure, man, that he took every day and he tried to get better. Okay? And then him working on his game, when the opportunity came, then he would be ready. There was no need to get ready. And I, for him, there were a bunch of things here at Vanderbilt University that I think sort of paved the way, you know, like for where he is today and like sort of what his mindset is. You know, he got his degree here at Vanderbilt. That was not easy. Keyshawn was a good student, but it's like anything else, he had to work hard at it. And so just learning how to work hard in the classroom, work hard on the football field, sitting out a year, becoming a father, all those things were just part of his process and part of the growth process and maturity, you know, of a young man who had to deal with things not necessarily happening at the right time. So to see, you know, like him have to go through that situation there in Tampa, and it was just about being prepared, being ready, having a process, and then just working his plan. And he did it. He called back here. He talked to you know, Darius Darden Box, man, and he gave me a call, and the only advice I could give to him was, hey, you've been here before. You know, this is the NFL now. So this is what you do. This is what you asked for. Okay, all you got to do, man, is just stay in the hunt. And, you know, that's exactly what he did. And so in that, like I said, now, you know, he's being rewarded. But it's good to see, you know, I mean, good people have good things happen to them, man, because they stay the course.
Let me ask you one last thing on him before we talk about this current Vanderbilt team. And what does it mean to you as a coach to see a guy do that, to do what you've asked him to do, to try to do what you've taught him to do in that regard, to handle this situation the right way? What does that mean to you?
It means that, you know, a young man like Keyshawn Vaughn just really understood, you know, what the process of maturing was about. When he came here, I mean, look, he was already a mature young man. But again, sometimes when there's things that you don't like in life, and you can do one of two things, okay? You can say, okay, I quit and I'm done, or you can figure out how to persevere. So I think a lot of times, and we see this a lot of times with young people, it's easier to say, okay, well, I'm done, than it is to take the rough climb or the hard climb to get from where you are to where you want to be. And for me to see that, for people in this building to see that, man, it just lets you know everybody's got to work at it. I don't care, you know, what the accolades are. I don't care where you were taken. Okay, it just lets you know, man, you still got to go compete. Okay, you still got to prepare the right way. And Keyshawn's done that, and then some. And I think that's why we saw what we saw yesterday, because it's all about, you know, being able to stay in the hunt. And he did so. And now I truly believe his best football in the NFL is definitely in front of him. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers believe that too.
I believe so too. We're talking with the Commodore head coach, Derek Mason, talking Vanderbilt football here for this first half hour of the Commodore Hour. And I know, Coach, I guess what you normally do is the game ends, you go back, you look at the tape. So just kind of give us a little bit of a summary, if you will, after looking at the tape from Saturday night's game against LSU, what comes to mind with you?
Well, you look at some lapses in execution offensively, special teams, just not being consistent in any shape, form, or fashion. I thought Harrison punted the ball well, but I think in terms of our coverage teams, you know, we had some freelancing going on. We had some younger guys being or you know, having their first opportunities to get on the field, and what you saw is you know, collectively, offense to defense, defense to special teams, maybe just miscues, defensively tackling, you know, some execution, some communication, turnovers, you know, for us in critical situations. These are all things, man, that don't lead to playing good football. So collectively, again, I start with me. You know, man, I need to do a better job, and that's not the way we wanted to play that football game. But this team is resilient, and I think the biggest thing that we had to do was just talk about just being united, okay, man, and owning the mistakes. Okay, start at the top, just own the mistakes. Okay, now what do we need to do to get better? And that's exactly what we did on Sunday. I mean, we started the process of just forward focusing on what we need to do to get it done against South Carolina. And I think that's where it's got to go. I mean, you got to flush that game really quick. We wanted to play better football, but it didn't show. And so in that, you just got to grind for more. And that's exactly what this group has done. I mean, they've been in the building a lot over the next 2 days. Today was an off day, supposedly, but I've seen more guys up here digging into the tape, just trying to make sure, man, that they're about a process, gaining these details and making sure, man, that what we saw on Saturday doesn't happen again. Because it's correctable, it's fixable, but it takes intentional commitment in order to get that done.
Let's talk about a couple things on special teams. And one is, you mentioned Harrison. I thought he punted the ball well. I wonder sometimes, and we use that old phrase, Coach, as you all know, sometimes you outkick your coverage. You know, I wonder if sometimes maybe he just kicked it farther than you could cover. Was that something that factored into this?
It did a little. I mean, we talked about Stingley going into this game and how dynamic and productive, you know, he can be. And so I think on the punt return that we saw, it was more about the direction of the punt than it was about the punt itself. I thought it was a great punt, but like for him, he mishit it to the field. And we wanted to make sure, man, that we didn't have to cover, 53 and a third. We only wanted to cover, a third of the field. And so, he mishit it, but it was a great mishit. Felt like a golf hit. Great mishit, but, you know, from a coverage perspective, and I was going to make it extremely hard because everybody was thinking pin left, but ball goes right. So now you got to get out of your lane. And a guy like him, Stingley did a great job. I thought our gunners got down there, but we didn't actually take a shot on him. And in not taking a shot, you give a guy a chance to circle the field. And look, he showed why, you know, he is dynamic, but I was glad to see Harrison work hard to cut him off and get him down, and that was good. But on the flip side of that, I thought we saw, you know, in our return game, the emergence of Donovan Coughlin, and I think that was promising, you know, man, for this group of Commodores, because I think he's dynamic in the return game as well.
I want to ask you about that because, you know, he catches one 5 yards deep, you know, a kickoff 5 yards deep. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, take a knee, bring it out to the 25. And here he comes. Was that okay with you on the sideline?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I looked at it at first and I was like, no, stay. But hey, look, that's what good players will do, man. He's fearless. He's a young warrior. He's fearless. He wants the ability to return, and that's why he's back there. That's why he won the job. But to be able to see him read, get him in the blocks, I thought the back line and front line guys did a good job of getting hats on hats. I wish we could have stayed on it longer because he only had, you know, one guy to beat, and that was the kicker. And actually, a guy who we had blocked earlier circles back, and like he's able to cut him off. But again, I thought, you know, the young man made some good decisions with the ball in his hand. He ran hard, and we got him to look forward to over the next 4 years. So I like our chances in the kickoff return game.
I like him, Coach. He goes north and south. He doesn't go east and west. I really like I like the way he does that. We saw another guy that we called his name a couple of times in this game on Saturday, in Jaden Harrison. You know, a product of Pearl Cone. You ran a couple of plays for, had a nice end around, got some things going. This is a young man that's kind of come out of nowhere, and suddenly, you know, he's played up the depth chart.
Yeah, he is playing up the depth chart. I mean, Amir didn't have as good a Saturday because he had a nagging injury, so we're trying to get him up to speed. But you know, when you look at missing Devin Body, you know, James Bostic, Keon Brooks, we needed to cultivate another weapon in this. And Jaden had been practicing well and just needed some opportunities. And obviously you can see he's strong, he's fast, but we got to get him going. But this week, in getting Bostic, Body, and Keon Brooks back, you know, we need more weaponry. I talked about, you know, like to the offense just a little bit about, you know, I mean, our receivers, you know, needing to make sure, man, that we can win these one-on-ones. We're running the football well, but I mean, when it comes to the one-on-ones, man, we got to win some of these matchups. Okay, I mean, there's opportunities to go down the field, but we got to win these things. And I think getting a healthy group back with some depth is going to provide ample opportunity for guys to stay fresh. Because, you know, for us, even when you're going tempo and moving things around, we just didn't have the functional depth that we needed to make sure guys were staying fresh, you know, in Saturday's ball game. So we need more production. But we're going to get it out of that group because it's a really dynamic group with some good young pieces, with some veteran guys that can make some plays. But we got to win the one-on-ones.
Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you, joined as always by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason, as the Commodores get set to take on South Carolina on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. Central Time start at Vanderbilt Stadium. And, Coach, I got to ask, I mean, there were no fans in the stands, obviously, except for a number of students and the cheer squad and a bunch of cutouts, which was nice and good to see. But with what's going on, for example, right down the street with the Titans, and everything they're dealing with right now with the spike that they have had, it kind of drives home the point, and I've been around this for a long time now, as you have, the protocol that you go through, that the team goes through to try to keep everybody safe, it's I know it's tough, but it's amazing how difficult this must be.
Well, it's difficult. I've been watching the Titans, and you know, Coach Vrabel, I mean, terrific coach. You know, and better human. I love Mike, man. He's such a good dude, man. brilliant mind. But when you talk about, you know, COVID, man, I mean, we're all trying to figure this thing out. You know, it's different. They get tested every day. They are in more of a bubble. And, you know, the biggest thing that you probably see happening in their bubble is just, you know, family, okay, and trying to control the idea of, you know, exposures and what that looks like. Because every place else, maybe they're being tested and they're being guarded. And so it's tough. I mean, you're trying to figure this thing out, and the numbers keep growing, but that's what happens when it sort of inserts itself into your bubble. You know, you can find, you know, from the contact tracing to the exposures to you know, I mean, the lingering effects, man, it's not as easy as everybody believes to navigate. Okay, man, it becomes tough. And when you talk about a limited squad and a limited roster, you know, at that level, okay, I mean, a couple of positives can really decimate your squad quickly, whether it's on the coaching side or whether it's on the player side, because now what you're talking about is contact tracing and who was around those people, whether it was practice and or meetings, and their meeting rooms are a little tighter since they're in their own bubble and facility. So it's one of those things right now that the NFL is looking hard at. They're trying to find some, you know, quick answers. But as we know, I mean, there are no quick answers with COVID. And you just got to make sure that you can eliminate it or manage it to the best of your ability and then move forward.
I don't think people understand it. I didn't know this until last week, as a matter of fact, Derek, that when you have staff meetings, when you have your staff all get together, they're getting together by Zoom. They're not getting together in the same room. I did not realize that that's how far this has gone.
That's how far it's gone. I mean, the idea that of in-person meeting happening with staff and or players, we just don't feel like right now's the time. I mean, when you can really get a hold of it and they've got some better answers, I think that's a time when you can start moving that way. But, you know, as of right now, it's just way too, you know, expensive or costly. And I'm not talking about in terms of money. I'm just talking about in terms of, you know, what there is to lose just having guys in-person meetings, right? Or just having your staff member in-person meetings. And here's the deal, too. I worry as much about my coaches as I do my players. So, like in this, we just tried to make sure in our own space that we can, you know, be smart about what we do. Everybody's always wearing their mask. I don't care where they are. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's continually, washing their hands and making sure that, you know, from a sanitization standpoint, we're on top of it. Because after a while, it becomes easy to get comfortable. And as soon as you get comfortable, that's generally when something happens. So it's not an easy process. Staff members are on their P's and Q's, but we haven't had a full staff meeting since maybe sometime back in March.
Wow, that's amazing to hear, but totally understandable. And you've been able to kind of keep this thing in check to a great degree as we visit with Commodore head coach Derek Mason. Let me ask you, as we talk about a couple of things quickly about the game passed on Saturday. I know one of the problems was pressure on Ken Seals by LSU's defense, and they were able to make him uncomfortable, able to get some things done defensively that I know were a problem for you.
Yeah, we shuffled some guys around on the offensive line. You had a chance to see Bradley Ashmore, man. We moved a couple guys around. They'll probably be less juggling, of the lineup this week, man, and more about, you know, again, just getting back to a solid five. I mean, that's what has to happen for us. Because, again, it's about playing together. It's about communicating, like, what you see. And the other, I mean, it's protection, coupled with, you know, them attacking the pass rush or them attacking the protection with you know, stunts and games. But also, again, it gets back to the idea that we got to win some one-on-ones, too. And I think, you know, I mean, this week, you know, we've got ample opportunity, you know, to do that. Man, we've got to be smart, again, about what our protections look like. And we've got to help our quarterback, you know, in as many ways as we can, whether it's, you know, it's some checkdowns and being able to, you know, go deep and then make sure, man, that he can find his outlets. But, you know, in this, I think we've got to stretch, you know, at the field vertically, man, but we also got to get it out of his hands fast. And in doing so, he's accurate. You know, Kenneth Fields is an accurate quarterback, and man, we just got to give him a little time and make sure that we sort of expand his repertoire a little bit and sort of take the governor off a little bit and just give him some more things to throw at. But he's also got to take care of the football, and that's something that's been addressed, you know, like with him, you know, throughout this, because, hey, man, he's a good young quarterback with a big arm, but, man, you got to make good decisions to take care of it when we need you to, especially in scoring situations.
Well, I've got to believe, Coach, that one of the things you've got to like is your running game. You look at this offense. You look at this offensive line. You look at Javion Marlowe, Jamari Wakefield, and what they have done. I would think you'd be very pleased with that and want to continue that.
I'm pleased with the run game. I truly am. But I want a greater balance. You know, like with the passing attack. Actually, I want a little more. You know, opportunity maybe to get ourselves down the field so that. These guys, because when you open up, you know, like the vertical seams and you start to spread the field horizontally, the running lanes get bigger. These guys are running extremely hard. When I look at Javion Marlowe and Jamari Wakefield, these young men have ran physical, both inside and outside. I think they've made some impressive runs, you know, absent Keon Brooks. And now with getting him back, that position gets better automatically. But these guys have done a really good job of being able to, you know, handle their lion's share of the run game. So I'm proud of these two. They've done well in these first two games, and I expect nothing less than these guys continue to play well as we move forward.
So as we finish up here, Coach, I know you've looked at a lot of tape on South Carolina. Yeah. They're going to be coming in kind of desperate, you know, in some ways, 0-2, Vanderbilt's 0-2. What do you see out of Will Muschamp's team?
They are a physical team, and they've had their fair share of mistakes, you know, defensively, offensively. They've battled, and they've put up some points. His teams are always going to play hard, and they're going to be physical. They're led by a fifth-year, you know, quarterback transfer from Colorado State and Hill. Shai Smith, it seems like he's been there forever in terms of his ability to line up in the slot and be their big play guy. He is dynamic, and we got to know where he is at all times. And they're big up front, so on the offensive line, they're gonna look to maul you. They're gonna push the line of scrimmage. They've got, you know, a great run game, and with bringing in Mike Bobo from Colorado State, who was formerly at Georgia, and they Will now has somebody to match what he wants to do on the defensive side with what's happening on the offensive side of the football. So. They're going to be a team that's going to come in here. I mean, they are going to be physical. We're going to have to play physical football, but also find ways to create some turnovers and actually score points. This is going to be about Vanderbilt scoring points. We got to score points and get some critical stops.
I know it had to be strange, finally, Coach. I mean, and you told me a little bit after the game about just the atmosphere, but you had some students over there in the end zone, and that was great, and appreciate that. They're going to be back again on Saturday morning. It's kind of an awkward way to play, kind of an awkward place to be, but it's nice to have whatever support you can have there.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I want to thank those, you know, the senior undergraduate students for coming out. I thought they were great in terms of the energy. You could hear them when you were on that end, and they cheered and they stayed, you know, for most of this ball game. So I can definitely appreciate them and. We definitely like to get back to something that looks a little different than that, but, you know, it's a ramping up period. We just got to make sure, man, that we're providing the type of excitement in-game, man, that our fans want to see when they get back. So we got to get better. We'll be better. I look forward to the challenge this week, as does, you know, this football team, and we're going to do it at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So that's when kickoff is. So when you're coming through the doors, let's get ready to get it hot.
Sounds good, Coach. Always good to be with you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Take care. Anchor down.
Thanks, man. That's Coach Derek Mason with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. John Williamson, the head coach of the Commodore women's bowling team, two-time national champion, will join us after this.